And I'm going to hand over to Auntie Natasha. Yay, away.
Is this it? Come on, where's the rest? Come on, guys. No, you're not part of this club. Good morning, Isabella. How are you today? Looking sharp, girls. Where's the rest of the kids? Come on, guys, come sit here. You're going to miss out. You won't be able to see once you when you're sitting there. Come on. Whoa, whoa. Good catch, good catch. Good catch. Morning, everybody. It is such an honor to be here this morning. I am just so excited. I didn't wake up excited, I have to tell you. You guys know when you wake up in the morning and you feel like something big is going to happen and you're like, have this. Have you felt that? So this morning I woke up, even before our little dude woke up, right? Our Lumpy was still sleeping. And I woke up and I was praying. I said, Joel, God, I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed and anxious about this morning. And as I'm praying, he wakes up and he says, Mama, I'm done sleeping. Okay, well, we've stepped up because he used to shout that from the room. Mama, I'm done sleeping. That's what he used to do. But this morning he comes in and he says, Mama, I'm done sleeping. And I didn't finish my prayer. So we wake up, me and him. We get up and we walk to the front of the house. I haven't gotten an answer from God yet. And as he's walking, this three-year-old sings, come on, come on, come on. We're ready for a worldwide revival. My three-year-old. And God answers me through him. He says, don't worry, don't be anxious. It wasn't about you. So let's close our eyes. Lord God, we give you center stage today. Thank you that you had already shown us your fire blowing through here during worship. Jesus, you are at the center of it all. And whatever happens here this morning, we're doing it all for your honor and your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids, we're going to quickly switch off the lights. Because that's why I said you guys need to sit closer. Uncle Bertram's going to switch off the lights now. And you're going to listen to a story for a little bit. Are you guys ready for that? I'm going to move to the side. Are you not ready yet? Okay, shall we give you a moment? Take a deep breath. Do you want to move closer? Because you won't be able to see. You can see, but you need to be able to see on the screen. See? All right. I want to tell you guys a story before I tell you another story. I'm telling you two stories this morning. The one is just a story, and the other one is a real story. Okay? So listen to this. One day, there lived a little girl named Izzy in a small, beautiful village. Near the edge of the village lay a barren, desolate area that made Izzy feel sad every time she saw it, because it was empty of trees and greenery. One day, while Izzy was playing among the rocks, she spotted some seeds scattered on the ground. She picked up some of the seeds, excitedly ran to her mother and asked her, Mom, what is this? Her mom says, these are seeds. She said, well, what do I do with seeds? Her mother said, well, you can plant them, dear. And if you take good care of them, it might grow into a big and beautiful tree. Izzy's eyes sparkled with excitement. The next morning, she dug a small hole, planted the seed, and carefully watered it. Every day, Izzy would visit the seed, water it, and whisper, when will you become a big tree? A few days later, Izzy noticed a tiny sprout poking out of the ground. She was overjoyed and decided to plant a new seed every day. Days and months went by, and Izzy continued planting one seed each day. It wasn't always easy. Sometimes strong winds blew, and other times there wasn't enough water. But Izzy never gave up and kept caring for the young plants with love and dedication. The other kids began noticing what Izzy was doing. At first, some laughed at her idea, saying the area was too dry for trees to grow. But Izzy didn't listen, and she kept working with determination. Over time, the trees began to grow one by one, and the barren area slowly turned into a lush green place. After many years, the seeds Izzy had planted grew into tall trees, and the once empty land blossomed into a beautiful forest. Birds had made nests among the branches, and the next generation of small children played in the shade of the trees. Izzy was never around long enough to see all this happen, but her actions, carried out with determination and belief, created wonderful changes. Thank you to my crew here at the back. We can switch on the lights again. All right, there was a reason I told you guys the story. Do you think it was easy for Izzy always? What do you guys think? Especially when people start laughing at you when you're doing something and you know it's the right thing to do, but people laugh at you. How do you feel? How would you feel? Do you want to continue doing that? No, you don't want to continue doing something if people are laughing at you, right? I want to tell you guys another story. Now, that story about Izzy is not in the Bible. But the one I'm going to tell you now is, in fact, in the Bible. So the one I'm going to tell you guys is in the book of 1 Kings. Who knows, Old or New Testament? Think. Old, yes. Well done, Isabella. All right. So I just want to tell you guys where the story started. Why is it not in the New Testament? Because it was before Jesus was born. If it was before Jesus was born, it was in the Old Testament. See? So what happened in this time? There were all these kings, like the stories we read, right? There were all these kings, but they were very proud and they ended up not wanting to listen to God anymore. So God said, okay, I need to make a different plan now. So he got all of these prophets that worked for God. So they like had a direct line to God. The lines didn't really break up with them. And God had this one prophet at that stage, Elijah. And you know what happened? God said to Elijah, you need to go to King Ahab and tell him that because you guys are not listening to me, I'm going to send a drought. It's going to become very, very dry. And the king and his wife, Jezebel, they were so angry that they wanted to kill Elijah. Like for real. So God hid Elijah in a cave. And you know what brought him? Who brought him food? Not Mr. Delivery. Not Uber Eats. And not Checkers 6060. Do you know who brought him food? Ravens. Thank you. Thank you, Abigail. And they brought him food. And you know what, guys? He was there for more than 3 years. And finally, God told him, you need to go back. I'm stopping this now. And that's where our story starts, is 1 Kings 18, verse 20 to 46. All right. Darian, I'm so sorry in advance. You're going to be up and down with that camera. So what happens is the king spots Elijah and he says, ah, there's the troublemaker. And Elijah says, no. I'm not the troublemaker. You guys are not being obedient to God. But be that as it may, he says, I want you to go get all of your prophets. Now, do you guys know how many prophets there were? The Baal prophets. There were 450 of the other prophets. So it's Elijah and 450 Baal prophets and 400 other prophets from Asherah. So 850 versus one, right? How does that fight sound to you guys? Does that sound like a fair fight? Wait. So Elijah tells them, we're going to build two altars with wood. You guys can go first because there's more of you. I was thinking maybe he told them age before beauty or something like that. But he says, we're going to build two altars. You guys go first. You choose the first ox. And then you're not going to light the fire. You're not going to burn this yourself. You're going to pray to your gods, and he's going to light the fire. So Baal's prophets went first. Guys, nothing happens. Nothing happens. So Elijah says, maybe you must pray harder. So they go, my boss, Riker is your boy. They go for it. Guys, by the afternoon, nothing had still happened. So Elijah's like, maybe your God's on holiday. Or maybe he's sleeping. Guys, do you know what they start doing? And that's how we know they served the wrong God. They started hurting themselves to get attention from their God. They started cutting themselves and they started hurting themselves. And at that stage, Elijah said, wait, stop. This needs to stop now. And then he says this. He says this to them. He says, how long will you be limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if it is Baal, then follow him. Then he says, okay, you're done now. You're done now. This is now my turn. So he goes to his altar. You know what he does? He gets 12 stones, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel. And he packs that there. And then he says, okay, guys, go get me 4 big containers with water. And they get those 4 containers. But before they do that, they even dig a hole around this altar, right? And so he says, okay, go pour this water over this altar. Now, have any of you seen your fathers light a fire with wet wood? Have you heard the words that they say when they do that? Have you seen the frustration like this? Lighting a wet fire is useless, right? So they go throw the water over once. They walk away. Elijah says, wait, stop. You're not done yet. Go get more water. 4 more big containers with water. And they throw that over that wood again. So now the water's like running through off this wood, right? And then he says, wait. 1 more. So they go get 4 more containers with water and they bring it back. So that wood is now so wet, it goes into that hole that they dug around, that trench that they dug around it, right? And then, and I'm not going to even paraphrase this, listen to the words of Elijah. He prays. What's the first thing you do? Praise. He says, O Lord, God of Abram, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Did Elijah once pray for himself? Was it at any stage about him? No. Thank you. It was never about him. And I wanted to do that, but I thought I'd get in big trouble if I try and maneuver something like that in church. You know what happened, guys? Fire fell from heaven. And it lit that wet altar like, poof. Nothing. Not even, you guys, know what? Even the stones disintegrated. Even the stones disintegrated. And now you think, wow, that's an amazing story. Thank you for that story, Lord. But you know what? It doesn't end there. As if in the infomercials, God would say, but wait, there's more. So Elijah says, and then the people decide, actually, they, before I get to what Elijah says, the people says, this is our God. This is God. They did what Baal couldn't do. Even when though they cut themselves, they hurt themselves, they did everything they could not do this. So everybody goes home completely stunned, but they're still waiting for rain. It's still dry. So Elijah says to King Ahab, he says, you go eat. Listen, listen, listen. He says, I hear something. I hear rain coming. The rain is coming. And I think Ahab was like, dude, I think you stood too close to that fire. Because there ain't nothing in this air. But Ahab says, okay, I'm not going to argue with you, yeah? So King Ahab went, and he went to go and eat. So Elijah takes his prophet, and they go up the mountain, right? Mount Carmel. Not the Carmel that you put on your ice cream. It's not the same one. It's a different one. So the first thing that Elijah does a day, again, what does he do? The Bible tells us he goes down on his knees with his head down and he starts praying. He starts praying. And at some stage he gets up and he says to his servant, go to the edge of this mountain and tell me what you see. So the servant is like, look, guys, look, what do you see? What do you see? Look, look, what do you see? What do you see? So he goes back to Elijah. He says, dude, epic fail. Nothing. There's nothing. So Elijah goes down on his knees again. And he prays again. How many times now? Two times. Thanks, Nicholas. He prays again. He gets up. He tells the servant, go look again. The servant's like, can you guys say this with me? Nothing. So he goes back. Dude. Nothing. Now, Elijah prays for the third time. He goes back again. Guys, he went back six times. Came back. And tell Elijah, oh, full of emptiness, nothing. And then the seventh time, Elijah goes down on his knees again. He gets up and he tells his servant, go tell me what you see. So the servant runs back and he says, little cloud there in the distance, it's the size of a man's hand. Does it look like cotton candy? Thank you so much. I tried. Don't eat that, by the way. There's glue in there. All right. So he goes back to Elijah and he says, there's a tiny cloud as big as a man's hand. And Elijah says, let's go down this mountain and tell the king the rain is here. And as he's talking to the king, the heavens open up and it starts to rain. It starts to rain. But now, Remember, Elijah's not young. He hasn't been training for a marathon or ultra marathon like Uncle Johan. Right? He's been living in a desert for 3 years. He picks up his robes and he starts running ahead of King Ahab's carriage. He runs before it because God still gave him the energy to do that. Now, this is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. And this morning, God showed me that there are a few people in this church that needed to see this God this morning. Because what's the similarities between what Ezi did and what Ahab did? Elijah did. Can you guys tell me? When we listen to Ezi's story now, and we listen to what Elijah did, what did they both have? Persistence. They both had persistence. I heard a story the other day. Oh, it's not a story. It actually happened about a church that they had like you have America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent. So this church does this. So whatever their name is, so Church Got Talent. And obviously then they have a few people like doing the same things. And so they had this older gentleman and about a high school boy that both recited Psalm 23. And both of them knew it word by word. And the boy said it and it was amazing. But then this older gentleman came. And when he recited Psalm 23, it had everybody there in tears. And the boy said afterwards, he went to the older gentleman and he said, "What was the difference? We both knew it. We both said all the words. We did the same thing." And the older gentleman said to this boy, "You know the words of the psalm. I know the God." And I want to talk about that this morning, because I think for many of us at this morning, we feel that we've like disconnected from the God, right? Do you guys sometimes feel like God is not even, Jesus isn't even close to me? Do you feel that sometimes, guys? Like he can't even be close? How do I see him in my life? How do I know that he's doing something in my life? But now I want to ask you, are you still connecting with him? Are you still persistent? It's the small victories. The other day, I said at the youth, faith doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a million little things. It's the things that happens in our life that we don't even necessarily realize. I looked at how on Facebook these things come up, the old memories. And so last year, during last week, this memory came up with our little dude that had ended up in hospital with asthma. And it was a very stressful time for us. It was extremely stressful for us. I've had kids in hospital, I promise you, Stephen has shares. But I've never had a child that couldn't breathe in my house. We've had children with TB, we've had all of that. But once a child cannot breathe and you can't do anything about it, it grabs your heart. And we ended up in hospital with him. And it took about 2 days and there were so many people. And I'm so thankful for all of you that prayed with us for this child. And so last week, this memory came up again. But I want to backtrack a few months, because when the winter started, I started praying. I said, "Lord, we're not going through that again. I'm declaring it. We will not go through that again this year. We will not be traumatized as a family and for that child to go through that again. You have promised us this is our child, that we are his forever family. We are his forever family. And I'm not going through this again with him. He had struggled with asthma again this year. We did go through that. But you know what? We haven't seen a hospital. This is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. I have seen these children last week, and I'm going to cry if I tell you this, because it was so overwhelming for those that were there. You should have heard the worship next door last week. By the time it was done, do you guys know olive oil and Popeye? Do you guys remember that? I think the older folks, please, younger guys, don't. So olive oil in the cartoon, she used to cry like this. Pew, pew, pew. Like the tears were just, I was bawling. That was like an ugly cry from me last week. Sorry, guys. The Holy Spirit was flowing through there. And myself and Lynette and the rest of the team, we've been praying for that weekly. We're asking, Lord, use them. Use them, because it's not about us. It's not about us. Use them. But we have to have faith like them again. And I want to encourage you with this morning. You have to have faith like them. You have to believe like a child, 3 years old, waking up and say, come on, Lord, we're ready. We're not waiting for it. We're ready for a worldwide revival. Are you ready for the revival in your own life, though? Has it started? Because it needs to start. It needs to start. We have to be there in that moment that we can go down on our knees again and again and again and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm moving on your word. And I'm saying, okay, I'll go. These kids are looking at me. Guys, there's no more puppet show, sorry.
Sorry.
But what I want to tell you guys, and I'm going to say this again, these kids that are sitting here, and they're at the back. Thank you. We're seeing something happen in our church, and I'm so excited about this. This is a Joshua generation being built up here. This is a complete Joshua generation. You guys should see these kids when it's someone's birthday. And so we ask God for the person standing in front. The rest of the kids need to give them a good word. And that was Lynette's brilliant idea. Thanks for that, Lynette. But so what these kids do is they stretch out their hands to this one in front. And they give them good words. You know what the good words are that these kids are giving them? He says, they say, you're the apple of God's eye. You are brave. You are courageous. You are a prince or a princess. These kids are speaking these words of each other's lives. Why are we not doing this anymore? Why do we lose this when we're grown-ups? We get weary. We say, Lord, yeah, they don't have my problems. Elijah had problems. The dude was stuck in a desert. But he knew the God. The others knew the verses, and he knew the God. And I wanted this morning, I actually said to Shavai earlier, I had some other things that I wanted to do, and I had this in my mind the whole time, that this is what needs to happen. And God said to me, you're going to drop it this morning. And Anton was not very happy because he'd been working on this project for weeks now, planning it with me. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not what God says that needs to happen. And I was wondering, Jason, if you could maybe come up and just play guitar for us. And I know for a fact that there are some people that need prayer this morning. And I think we need to pray as a family this morning. And it's going to go, the prayer needs to go from the top down. and from the bottom up. These little friends of mine here at the front, can I ask you guys something? Will you guys come and pray with me for the grown-ups? You can just come and stand here, guys. Come stand here by me. I only bite after 12 o'clock at night, so it's okay. You're good. Come stand here in front with me. You guys can turn around. Come, girls. Come, Maya. You can stand all the way around here, guys. You want to come stand here by the boys? So I want the kids to stretch out their hands to the grown-ups today. Can you do that, Liam? Stretch out your hands to the grown-ups. And we're going to pray over them. Are you guys ready? Just like we do at Shine, we're going to pray for them. Lord Jesus, we welcome you here today and we thank you that you go ahead of us. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. And I experience this. I just feel in my heart there are so many of the people sitting here today that is so in need of you, that needs a saturation of your Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, you say in your word in Luke 10, it says, thank you, Lord, that you reveal to these young and inexperienced what the wise still need to learn. And Lord, we pray over these adults today. We pray over each and every person sitting here that needs to feel you today. Holy Spirit, just pour down. Just come and flood this place this morning, Lord. Flood this place. It's all about you. Lord, for every person that is struggling with their health this morning, for every person that is feeling so sad and so overwhelmed this morning, He's in control. He is in control. He's in control. He's in control of your finances. He's in control of your circumstances. He's in control of your coming. He's in control of your going. But trust Him. Trust Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But now I want to ask one of the parents to come up and pray for these kids, please. Who's going to be brave enough? Come on, Sam. You guys can go sit now, and Auntie Sam, we're going to go pray for you guys now.
Told you, my bestie is calling. They want to stand with me. I feel so loved right now, guys. I really do. That's why I say Sean's the best place. I want to thank you, Father God, for all these little kids around me today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of Shine for many years. There's some kids that are here that are not kids anymore. They were leading worship this morning, and I want to thank you that I am able to be a part of their lives, even though I'm not cool with them anymore. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every single one of them, Lord, and I pray that we can see your work done through them, and that we be inspired by them, Lord Jesus, and you know, be brave like them, like we used to be when we were small, running around, not caring about what the world thought about how we worship or what we wear and things like that, Lord Jesus. And I pray your blessing upon these little kids coming up in this church, Lord, and that there may be a blessing to each and every one of us and in their families and in their schools and in their friend groups, Lord Jesus, that there may be a light, and that they may carry that with them, Lord Jesus, wherever they go. And as they grow up, may they never forget that in a garden full of flowers that look the same, when you call their name, they know that it's your voice and that you are talking to them. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this ministry in this church. It really is an honor, Lord, and I thank you so much. I pray your blessing on these children in the name of Jesus. Amen. friend, my best friend. Oh, thank you. Where's the? Here you go.
I want to leave you with a last, just something to remember. And it was interesting that God had said to me this morning, don't worry, don't be anxious, because it's not about you. Okay, don't get a big head here. It's not about you. Like the story with this girl that planted those seeds. Now remember, she had no idea what to expect. She's never seen a forest before. But she moved in faith. Elijah did the same. He didn't know that God was going to light this fire from... He didn't get a note. He didn't get a memoir or anything beforehand on WhatsApp to say, this is what's going to happen. But he did it anyways. I want you to remember that sometimes, and most of the times, what's happening now is not about really about what you're going through now, but your reaction should be kingdom-minded. What you are doing now, are you being kingdom-minded in what you're doing? We often talk about it at Shine. You know, you see these kids and they come into our lives, like with us, that we look about after these kids that come from horrific circumstances many times. And sometimes they're with us for months. Sometimes they're only with us, I think the shortest was what, 6 hours? But God told us, love them like I love them. When they leave your home, they need to know who I am. No matter what the time frame is, they need to know who I am and that I love them. We need to stop looking at what we're going through and turn to the God that is in control, because he's never caught off guard. Nothing that you are experiencing has caught God off guard. But I want you to know that you can trust him, that he's in control of your life, and that he loves you. Kids, do you remember what we do when we're scared? What I told you guys? When you feel alone, where do you put your hand? On your heart. Because I told them, and it's so easy. Your heart can't beat without Jesus, right? Without God making it beat. So when you put your hand on your heart, that's Jesus' footsteps. So when you feel alone and when you feel scared, you put your hand on your heart and you feel Jesus' footsteps. And he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And remember that this week, guys. The seeds that you're planting now is not about you. It's not about your circumstances. But what are we going? Where are we going from here on? I'm looking at these seeds and I'm thinking, yo, Yellowstone trees. It's going to be massive. It's going to be massive. And I'm so excited for this. Maybe we won't even see it happen. Maybe it's going to happen in the generations after them still. But it's what about we do now that's going to make the seeds grow. And being persistent. So I'm going to end off in prayer. Lord, we just come and we say thank you. Thank you that you're in control. That we could just trust you with everything. That we wake up every morning and despite everything happening around us, we can take that first breath and say, Lord, please get in my head before I do. Thank you that you entrust us with your children and with situations, and that you give us the discernment and the wisdom to deal with it. Thank you, Lord, that you just go ahead of us and You just love us. Despite everything we do, you love us. Thank you for your son, and thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that you died and rose. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that flows and that lives in us. And Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over each and every person here today, that they would just go into this week and they would be so aware of your love, that despite anything and everything that happens, that they can turn to you, the author and perfecter of their faith, and say, my God is in control. No matter what else happens, he's in control. And Lord, even if things don't work out the way we want them to, you're still in control. Our hope is still in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was so good. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, little ones. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't forget, next week we're back to two services, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. If you want to sign up for the ladies' event, there will be some ladies in the foyer. Bless you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Bless you.